Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
This morning, my name is Bronson. If we haven't met, great to have you here in church today. I believe you're here for a reason, as Pastor Gabby has already said. And at Elevation, we have a saying that we like to say, and the saying is this: we're better together. And I believe that church isn't just about, as Gabby has already said, singing songs, hearing someone do a message, having a coffee afterwards. Being part of church is being part of a community. It's doing life together. And so we are better together. What you'll find when you're in a community, a church, is that you are strengthened, you're encouraged, you're loved. Sometimes you might be convicted, but life is better with other believers. I fully believe that. Does anyone believe that this morning? And so today, if you're here and you're looking for a church, I pray that you would consider Elevation. If you're visiting, so good to have you. I'd love to say hello to you afterwards at the end of the service. Well, today we're continuing our series, our Easter series, called the Via della Rosa. Can anyone say that with me? The Via della Rosa. And what it means is it's Latin for the way of suffering or the way of pain. And it talks about the historical route that we believe, or that tradition says, that Jesus walked in the old city of Jerusalem on his way to the cross. And there's something that we need to realize and remember at this time of Easter is that Christ suffered for us. He suffered physically on the cross. He suffered mentally, emotionally. He suffered spiritually for us as he went to the cross. And sometimes I think that we forget that when we get caught up in all the glorious, great things that God has done and healing and miracles and all these things. But we need to remember, while salvation was free to us and cost us nothing, it cost Jesus everything. And so the Via Dolorosa is the way of suffering. And he endured the shame of the cross and the physical, mental, emotional anguish. He endured the separation from God because of his great love for us. And in a few weeks, on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we call these the Super Bowl weekend in our Christian faith. Be here or be square. Do we say that? We don't say that anymore, do we? But you got to be here on Good Friday, as we remember the price that Jesus paid, as we delve deeper in that. And then on Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate. It's a party. Jesus is alive. He is risen. So we want to be here as well. And during this series, we've been looking at we've been taking a journey through the life of Christ and his teachings and why he came and who he was, and looking at some insights. And so week one, we looked at how Jesus set his eyes like flint towards the cross. Pastor Gabby shared a great message on that and how his eyes were set on Jerusalem and the cross. And she shared how we are to lay down our lives, we are to take up our cross, and to fix our eyes on Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, are you laying down your life? Are you laying down your life today for your friends and your loved ones around you? Are you taking up your cross, enduring the suffering that comes? We don't like talking about suffering, but also we realize that there's also a glory that we can share in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then finally, are your eyes fixed on Jesus or on something or someone else today? Week two, last week, Pastor Larry spoke and he brought a word on looking at how there's two different kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this earth and then there's the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about how they are different kingdoms. They operate in different ways. But God has invited us. When Jesus came, he came to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And so we are to be changed by God from the inside out. There is an unseen change that happens inside us that then becomes a seen change on the outside as we step into God's kingdom. And today I'm going to continue our journey through the way of suffering with a message titled, Whose Righteousness? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your anointing upon this day. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon the scriptures. As we read them, you speak directly to us. And so I pray that you would speak directly to our heart. You would pierce through, Lord God, everything that might try to get in the way. But this morning, we would hear you so clearly speak to us through the scriptures. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said? Amen. Come on, everyone said? Turn the person next to you and say, it's a great morning to be in church. Many of you may be aware of this, but some of you may not. But last year, our family, my wife and our three kids, we went on a holiday to Italy, 6 weeks in Italy. It was amazing, and we had a great time. But, you know, I call it a holiday, but it was really a trip. See, a holiday is where you go somewhere by the beach, 2 weeks sleeping in, you know, having some drinks at the cabana or whatever it is, massages, just lazing around, right? That's a holiday. Italy was not like that. It was up early. It was go, go, go. It was like 10, 15, 20 kilometers of walking a day. It was kids complaining. It was me and Gabby trying not to fight with each other too. It was hard work, up late. It was go, 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 but we loved it. We had an amazing time. One thing when you go on a holiday is that if you're planning to see anything, to go anywhere, to an attraction, a historic site, some sort of theme park or any of these things, is you gotta be prepared and you gotta have tickets to get into these things. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Now, you can rock up on the day and try your luck, but I'm kind of like more of a planned, organized person. And so we had all these tickets before we went to go to Italy. And then there's not just the tickets to go to the attractions. There's also the transportation, right? Planes, trains, automobiles, and all the other kind of stuff, and taxis and transfers from the airports. And so we had all these tickets that we had to have with us. And so I counted the tickets that we had. We had heaps, and we had 6 guided tours. So 6 set of tickets times 5, because it's a family of 5. And then we had 7 different intercity train tickets that we have. So times that by 5. And then we had also 2 transfers from airports. And then we had tickets for the aeroplanes. Man, I printed these all out. We had like a stack of tickets like this. It was coming out of our ears left, right, and center. And we needed them all, though, because you need a ticket to gain entry to what it is you're trying to enter. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You've brought tickets to a concert or to a movie or to an attraction. Even this week, we purchased tickets. We went along to the Titanic exhibition at the museum this week on Monday, and we had to present our tickets, and then we gained entry to where we were going. Well, last week, as I mentioned, we looked at the kingdom of God and how God has brought the kingdom of God to earth, but there's also a kingdom one day that we will enter, and even now we enter in this life as well, that Jesus came to establish, and that's amazing, and that's great to know. But what I would say is, to follow on from that, is how then do we gain entry to the kingdom of God? See, it's good to know about these kingdoms, but how do we get into it? How do we gain entrance to the kingdom of God? What ticket do we need to get into God's kingdom? And it's a very important question for us to answer today, and for us to answer through the filter of the scriptures if we are a believer this morning, because that is how we shape our worldview on how we gain entry into God's kingdom. See, we don't base it based on what might sound like a good theory or what culture might say. We base it on the scriptures. And so I think that by starting with a foundation today, for today's message, is when it comes to the ticket which gains us entry to God's kingdom, the ticket is something called righteousness, or being righteous. Righteousness, or being righteous, is being morally right or justifiable before God. We have to be righteous before God to gain entrance to his kingdom. And most other major world religions around the world will have a checklist of things you must do. Activities will have a list of good things that you need to do, to undertake. And if you keep them, then you will have righteousness to gain your ticket to heaven, or to God, or to nirvana, or to a state of well-being, whatever their equivalent is. It's the idea that if you live a good life, you will get good in return. It's that idea of karma. Do good, get good. And I want to let you know today that those things, they sound good, but the scriptures never say do good and you'll get good. The scriptures never say live a good life and you will gain entry to the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God operates differently to the kingdoms of this world. See, they're different. Righteousnesses are based around something totally different than our own goodness or the bad we've done, and the way we gain to God's kingdom isn't how we might think that we gain entry. Today, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verse 9. If you don't, the passages will be on the screen behind me. And it says this, Luke, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He tells this parable. It's called the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. Any tax office workers here this morning? One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like the other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. This person's a kind of guy you want to hang around with, right? Sounds like a happy dude. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. I do all these things for you, God. Look how righteous I am. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven and prayed this prayer, beating his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful on me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus pauses the story there and he says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home morally right, returned home righteous before God. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This morning, I want to share three thoughts on us about the righteousness of God and how to enter the kingdom of heaven, our ticket to entry. If you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, we're not righteous because of the bad we've done. Write this down. We're not righteous because of the bad we've done. I think a lot of us know this. So in the parable, we have the Pharisee and we have the tax collector. And so let's look at the tax collector just for a moment. The tax collectors at the time of Jesus in the nation of Israel were generally Jewish people who had won contracts with the Roman government, the Roman Empire, to gather, to bring in the taxes. And so there was a contract that was available, and they said, listen, I can do it, and I promise that, you know, the set rate that the Roman Empire wanted, I don't know, like 20% or 30%, I don't know what the rate was, but they said, yes, I will promise that I'll be able to bring that money in, and I will pay those taxes to you. And so they would go around, gathering taxes off the people. But what they would do is they were quite corrupt. The Roman Empire didn't really care how they did it. Didn't really care how much money they raised. They just wanted to get their cut. And so often they would charge above and beyond what the Roman Empire went, but they would use the might of the Roman Empire to enforce their corruption. And there was no one you could complain to. There was no ombudsman. There was no governance. There was none of these things. There was no, you know, social media you could go on, Twitter you could, send a missile their way and call them out. There was nothing like this. And so these were corrupt people that were looked down on by society. They were classified as sinners, bad people. If you were to ask, Israelites, are these righteous people, they would say no. And in this parable, the tax collector represents a group of people then and even now that because of the sin of their past or the sin in their current life, they feel like they can't be close to Jesus or they can't enter the kingdom of God and step into God's presence. And they feel like they need to beat their chest and say, I'm a sinner. Today, the fact of the matter is that all of us are sinners, regardless of what we're doing, but all of us are in this place. And this group of people, it's something higher. This group of people, they feel that because of all the bad things they've done, that there is no chance that they could be righteous before God. They feel that because of all the bad they're doing in the moment, there's no chance that they could be righteous because their righteousness isn't tied up in their bad things, in their life. And so the tax collector believes he's not righteous because of this. And yet, amazingly, Jesus says that he is justified, that he has been made righteous in his sight. In 1 John 1, 9, it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will confess our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And today, maybe you're here and you're so aware of the bad in your life. You're so aware of the sin in your life, maybe in your past or in your current, and you feel like the tax collector beating your chest. I want to encourage you this morning. You can know forgiveness if you will repent and turn away from those things. Jesus can make you new. He can make you clean. His righteousness is greater than your unrighteousness. He will turn you from the old ways to the new life. There's a new way to live, and it's to live in the kingdom of God. See, we're not righteous because of the bad we've done. Number two, we're not righteous because of the good we've done. A lot of people fall in this trap. We're not righteous because of the good we've done. See, in contrast of the tax collector, we've got the Pharisee. And he's at the front, and he's pumping up his chest, and he's a committed follower of God. He goes to church every Sunday. He tithes. He's a volunteer. He's singing the songs. He's lifting his hands. He is a dedicated follower of God. He says amen during the preach. No one's going to say amen during the preach now. No, keep doing it. Keep doing it. What does he do? He stands up the front and he says, God, thank you. I'm not like other people. Look how good I am, God. Look at everything I do for you. Look at how I live my life. Look at the righteousness of my deeds. And he relies on his spiritual practices and his understanding of the scriptures and his all these different disciplines that he does to lead him to have an overinflated confidence before God. And the Pharisee represents a group of people who believe that they are good enough to enter the kingdom of God. They believe that their goodness is the righteousness that gains them the entry into God's kingdom because of their actions, deeds, and words. And the problem with this is that it leads to spiritual pride and arrogance. Thank God I'm not like the person down the street or my neighbor or my work colleague. Thank God I'm not like them. Spiritual pride blinds a person to their shortcomings, insufficiencies, and sins. C.S. Lewis said this, pride is the mother hen under which all other sins are hatched. And today, if you don't believe me, you think that you're good enough, would you please look at the scriptures? It says in Romans 3:10, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. The problem is this. We're not righteous because of the good we've done. The good things we do will never, ever, never be good enough to attain God's righteous requirement to bridge the gap between us and God. The kids could come this morning. See, in Isaiah 64:6, it says this, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. See, God doesn't base our righteousness based on our standard of living. He bases it on His standards and His righteousness. And I'm afraid to say the goodness of our lives, the scriptures say, are filthy rags. They're like autumn leaves. We wither and fail, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. So our righteousness is not based on the bad. Our righteousness is not based on the good. This morning, this is my main point. If you remember only one thing, please remember this. Number three, we're righteous because of what Jesus has done. Come on, we're righteous because of what Jesus has done. This parable is two groups of people, one who's steeped in sin, the tax collector, then there's the other one who is steeped in self-righteousness. They're on two ends of the spectrum, and yet for both these individuals and for us this morning here today in 2024, we have the exact same answer. They have the same answer for their life. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. See, whether we fall into the group of, you know, living an ungodly life, unrighteous, sinful life, or whether we feel like we're living on a godly life, we're righteous people, we're good enough people, we both have a need for the true righteous one, who is Jesus. And it was at the cross that Jesus fulfilled the law, shed his blood, died for our sins, rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven, defeated sin and death, and conquered its power and its hold and all those things. And Jesus redefines our righteousness away from our bad or our good and onto what he has done. And in Colossians 2:13, it says, "And when we were dead in our trespasses and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all of our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross." See, at the cross, not only was Jesus nailed to that cross, our unrighteousness, our sins, our wrongs, but also our so-called goodness, our so-called good things were nailed to that cross. See, Jesus has erased every work-based requirement. It doesn't matter how bad you've been, how good you've been, your righteousness is because of him and him alone. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." See, if righteousness comes through the law, which was you must follow this command and that command, you must do this thing, eat this type of food, wear these type of clothes, cut your hair this type of way, purify you, these types of things, not do this, do this. If righteousness comes through those things, then Christ has died for nothing. But he hasn't died for nothing. He's brought a new covenant. He's brought a new kingdom to this earth, a new kingdom that doesn't act like the old kingdoms. And today, it's not just the bad part of us that has to be crucified. It's also what we consider the good of us that has to be crucified. Our abilities, our giftings, all those things, you know, our good, our bad, everything. And this Easter, as we approach the cross, we need to realize our salvation has nothing to do with us, has nothing to do with us. I want to let you know there's no such thing as karma when it comes to the kingdom of God. If you're a Christian, we don't believe in karma. There's no such thing. You can't be good enough to get good in return from God. You got to come to Jesus and say, "I've done the wrongs, I've done the goods, but I believe that in you I have righteousness this morning." Is there any Christians in the house today? Is there any people here that would praise a risen Savior? God, it's nothing to do with you. It's absolutely nothing. My salvation, my righteousness has everything to do with Christ's accomplished work on the cross. And today, as I finish up, as I finish this message, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're in with your journey with God. I don't know where you are in maybe that story of the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. You know, maybe you're the tax collector, maybe you're the Pharisee, maybe you're probably somewhere in between. You know, if I'm looking in the mirror, I'm probably somewhere in the middle there, somewhere in that story. But, you know, maybe you're focused on the bad you've done, like the tax collector. Maybe you're focused on the good you've done. You're like the Pharisee or somewhere in between. But I want to tell you, your righteousness is not based on the bad or the good. It's based on only what Jesus has done. And this is such a freeing thought today. This is such a freeing, liberating concept this morning, that Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. That yes, we would repent and turn from our sins and live a life sanctified because of God and what he's done. But if we fail, and we will, if we sin, and we will, we know that the ticket hasn't been ripped up, because it was never about whether we're good enough or we did the right things. It was always about Jesus is good enough. It's based only on what Jesus has done. And Easter is a call to the world and especially to Christians, to refocus our eyes and make the main thing, Jesus Christ and what He did. To refocus our eyes on the cross and what He done, and to take our eyes off ourselves and our bad and our good, and to put our eyes on Jesus. See, the ticket to entry to God's kingdom is righteousness, but not my own. It's good news today, church. That's the gospel message, the good news. Jesus has come. He has paid the price. He has made a way. Jesus is the ticket. He has given us the ticket. There's no other way but through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And today, this might be the first time you're hearing this. Today, this might be the first time you're in church or watching on the live stream. This might be the first time you're hearing a message like this. And you thought, wow, I thought it was all about having to be good enough. I thought it was all about putting the bad things aside. And we're going to do those things, but they're never going to get you to be righteous enough before God. See, it doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. You won't make it to God's kingdom on your own righteousness. You need the righteousness of Jesus. This morning, if all eyes are closed and every head is bowed, the only way to receive Jesus' righteousness is to repent of your sins and to turn from them and to say to Jesus, I need a Savior whose righteousness can become my righteousness. The Scriptures say that Christ imputes His righteousness onto us. That means that whether I'm living a life that's far from Christ, or whether I'm living a life where I'm endeavoring to live as sanctified, righteous a life as I can, then what matters is that I'm coming to Jesus and say, I need a Savior. Nothing I do will be good enough, Jesus Christ. I need a Lord and Savior. The Scriptures say that if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died and rose again, you will be saved. And you might be wondering today, saved from what? I feel like life is good. I feel like everything's fine. I feel like, you know, maybe things are going well. Or you might be feeling like, well, you know, life isn't the greatest. But what's there to be saved of? Well, today I want to let you know that this is not all there is. The seen is not all that there is. There is something unseen. And there is a continuation of our life after we pass from this life. And I would be remiss as a pastor, as a person who believes in Jesus Christ, to not tell you that we're either going to a place called heaven, or we're either going to a place that is separation from God, that we know that we call hell. Today, Jesus gives us an opportunity to not go there by entering into a relationship with Him. To say, Jesus, I want to know You. Can I tell you, don't wait until you're good enough to say yes to Jesus. He wants to take you right as you are. And then His Holy Spirit will enter your life and journey with you. And He'll make you right. His righteousness will come upon you, but the decision is today. Jesus, I invite You into my life. So this morning, if you want to invite Jesus into your life this morning, if you want to say, I want to know this righteousness, I want to put aside my good, my bad, I want to know the righteousness of Jesus Christ this morning, would you do something for me? I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, come into my life.